Final segment with the legendary Roger Stone, and then the legendary Dr. Drew's joining us coming up in about 6 minutes. Roger, the big debate tomorrow night. We know she likes to throw out mindless one-liners. She can't operate without a teleprompter. She did terrible on CNN when Trump destroyed Biden. That's why they obviously made him step down in the debate with Biden. Vivek Ramaswamy saying if she does a terrible job, they might even try to replace her. Cover that waterfront and what you're predicting for tomorrow night, which I'll be simulcasting with you, Luke Radowski, and others with full coverage of the debate before, during, and after. Roger Stone.
You know, Alex, look, the expectation level for the president is, as it should be, very high. He's a champion debater. He doesn't do the kind of traditional debate preparation, you know, where they bring in somebody to play Kamala Harris. He just doesn't do it that way. He's been working very closely with Tulsi Gabbard on debate preparation because she's the last person to destroy Kamala Harris in a debate. But even she says, look, he doesn't need to be coached on how to debate. He's the best at that. Where I can help him is I know her style. I know her moves. I know her record. And I think this collaboration is going to be very successful. But nobody needs to tell Donald Trump how to debate. He may be the best debater, you know, in my lifetime. She doesn't even answer questions when they're shouted at her by reporters as she walks from the plane to the car. It's not just that she doesn't do interviews with reporters. It's not that she won't just do a press conference. I don't think this lady is capable of putting together a cogent sentence. And therefore, my guess is they're trying to cram her into remembering everything. And that's never a very good debate strategy. So, look, I'm optimistic. No matter what happens, we both know that the media will try to somehow spin this as a phenomenal victory by Kamala Harris. But the American people will see this with their own eyes. So I know he feels good about it. I think he's completely prepared. He's got a record to run on. She's got a record to run away from. How do you claim to be an agent of change? How do you claim you want to take America in a different direction when you're part of the disastrous direction that she's been taking America in? I'm really looking forward to doing this breakdown after the debate with you at InfoWars, with Luke Radowski at his great show, and, of course, at the Stone Zone. We did this last time. It was terrific. I'm very excited about this. I think it's going to be a great night.
Roger, minute and a half left. We don't like to talk about it, but people forget they just tried to kill Trump. That's the only move I see the deep state having. What's your view on that? Pray for President Trump. What else can we do?
I share your concern about this. I've been very open and talked about it. I noticed Kash Patel in a great interview with Sean Ryan raised the question. I still think that they may determine the only shot they have to elect Kamala Harris, this laughing hyena, is to elevate her to the presidency. And if Joe won't go willingly, well, you know, I fear the worst. This is not something I want to see happen. It's not something I know that there's a plot to actually do. But I do pray about it because, look, they were willing to kill John F. Kennedy. I documented that in a book. They tried to kill Ronald Reagan. My new book will be out soon on that. And we know what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania. Every week, they're disturbing new stories.
That's right.
Because of courageous congressmen like Matt Gaetz and Corey Mills and Clay Higgins. We still don't have all of
that. That's right. Roger, look forward to joining you tomorrow for live coverage simulcast of this epic debate. Thank you, Roger.
Thank you, Alex. God bless you.
All right, Dr. Drew's coming on right now after the break. Please remember, we're listener-supported, plus we've got great products. Our sponsor, drjonesnaturals.com, has Next Level Foundational Energy. It's super popular. It's selling out. We'll get more in a few months. And it cleans out your cells. It doesn't have a stimulant effect like regular stimulants. There's no letdown, but it has a huge effect like a stimulant. You want Next Level Foundational Energy, selling out at drjonesnaturals.com. 5-star reviews, so many other great products at drjonesnaturals.com. We need your support, plus these are amazing products. Go now to drjonesnaturals.com. You don't spell out doctor, just drjonesnaturals.com. Talking about doctors, Dr. Drew, straight ahead. Stay with us. Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today. Gentlemen, we are now into hour number two of the Alex Jones Show, Monday, September 9th, 2024. And I am really excited about having this guy on. I've been a fan for decades. Dr. Drew Pinsky, MD, just known as Dr. Drew. Obviously, he's a medical doctor, hosted some of the most popular shows in mainstream media, and now alternative, that is the new dominant media. He's got one of the top podcasts and shows in the world, not just in medicine. You can find out everything about him and what he's simply doing on his website. And we'll be putting that on screen for all of you here today. There's so much I want to go over with him, and I sent him some questions, but when we learned we could get him on the show, I've been trying for years, I said, what does he want to talk about? Because I've certainly got a lot of really important questions I want to go over, and the aftermath of the COVID shots and the origins and Fauci and the new fear-mongering with the bird flu and the monkeypox, now they're calling it mpox, and the UN treaties, and you know, we've got the election and all the things that are unfolding right now. But just first off, it's great to have you, Dr. Drew.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate you having me. And yeah, all of those things, I'm ready to talk about any and all of it, whatever interests you. I've been living it. That Ask Dr. Drew show you just put up there, we started that during COVID in the dark hours. My wife just said, you know, we ought to do a stream and tell people, you ought to give people your thoughts about what's going on. I felt like the French underground, just giving information as I thought it was coming forward. And most of it was, of course, not in the mainstream media. And we slowly started moving over to interviewing people who had been canceled. And I'll be damned if I didn't learn something important from every single guest I spoke to, not the least of which was RFK Jr., of whom I was not a particular fan until he spoke to me. And I was like, this guy really makes sense. And at the end, and this is the point for this story, Alex, at the end, he said, you know, you're so courageous for speaking with me. And I thought, I was shocked. I thought, we live in a country now where a physician and a lawyer speaking in a public domain, you need courage to do that? Oh my God, we are through the looking glass. And since then, which was about 2 or 3 years ago, my absolute commitment is to free speech, and thus I am here.
And you're easy to find on X at Dr. Drew, drdrew.com, but you don't need any introduction. Let's talk big picture first. And I was going to actually ask you up front about attempts to cancel you, attempts to shut you down, because sure. You were, before the whole COVID hysteria, you had big issues with some of the problems, the liability protection of vaccines. But now the numbers are there. They admit at the Davos Group, they admit at the Clinton Foundation, they admit at Johns Hopkins that trust in the medical system is at all-time lows, not with individual doctors or nurses, no. But with no. The system. And they've got big studies out, as I'm sure you know, that in the past, medicine had the highest confidence rate, over 90%. 30 years ago, then it went down to 80, 70. Now it's at 40 or lower in polls. Can you just speak in general with decades and decades and decades and decades in practice, what's changed and why you think people have such a loss of confidence?
Yeah, Alex, this is a huge topic. So let me see. And please interrupt me if I go on too on about this, because I've lived it my entire career. It really started... It started with the assault on the physician-patient relationship. It was really the insurance companies that originally assaulted that. I will tell you a quick story about how egregious it became when the HMOs and the DRGs were kicking in the 80s and 90s. I had a colleague who was an excellent physician. He became an HMO administrator. I was running an addiction program at a freestanding psychiatric hospital at the time. And his program, his insurance resources, kept forcing us to send his patients out before they were ready. And I called him and I said, look, these detox, we got to do more with them. I'll tell you what, you name your price. I will use my resources to treat these people. This is too demoralizing for me and my staff. You name your price. And he goes, no, I just want a three-day detox. And I said, do you mean to believe that after three-day detox, these patients are okay and well? He goes, no. But if they detox three times and relapse each time, then they'll lose their job and then they're no longer my concern. And I thought, oh my God, here we are. This is it. And that was 40 years ago or 35 years ago. And things have continued to deteriorate from them. The insurance industry played shenanigans that's a longer story. It's going to bore people if I get into it.
No, it's important. People need to hear the process of your awakening.
All right. So here's what used to happen. So as time went on, I started recognizing what the insurance company's game was. And they would ask for, as soon as you'd admit a patient, they say, we need a doctor-to-doctor review. And that doctor-to-doctor would be some maniac out in Michigan or just a clerk with a guidebook, if it wasn't even a physician or maybe it was a nurse practitioner or something. And that person's job was to get the patient out of the hospital. And I would say, look, your criteria, my patient does not meet your criteria. They meet my criteria. I need them to stay. I'm sitting here watching this patient, and it's my judgment that it'd be dangerous for this patient to leave. Too bad. Patients told that their insurance has cut them off. They call the insurance company. The insurance company says, well, of course, if Dr. Pinsky would just give us the information, we'll of course keep you in the hospital. What they don't tell the patient is their criteria is what I need to give them, which were ridiculous and arbitrary, and the patient did not meet those criteria. Then patients discharge, or the patient stays and incurs a huge bill. Patient goes home, let's say, kills themselves. The insurance company says, we don't practice medicine. There's Dr. Pinsky's signature right there on the discharge order. So I make a complaint to the insurance commissioner about their practices. The next thing I hear is, oh, Dr. Pinsky, you don't like our business practices? I tell you what, we're not just going to decertify you. We will decertify the entire hospital. This was the game in the 90s. Now it's gotten worse and worse and worse. Now the doctors are now employees. What COVID showed us is so many of us are under the influence of adulterating influences that we didn't used to have to even think about. We thought only about the well-being of the patient in front of us. And now we have bosses, we have hospital administrators, we have regulatory agencies, and that's where things really go off the rail. And I'll tell you how that story works if you're interested. You want to know how the regulators mess everything up?
Of course. You're the expert. You've been through this. Right. And people need to know the de-evolution or evolution of this tyranny to where we now learned this year that $2.3 billion was given by the government, by the CDC and FDA, to pharmacies, mainly Walgreens and CVS, to not prescribe ivermectin and things that the doctors were prescribing. And now the feds have had to admit, well, okay, it did work. We suppressed it. We're sorry. We killed a bunch of people. So we've gotten to the point where big pharma, with kind of Bill Gates up at the top, who's not even a doctor, is deciding through these systems what doctors, nurses, and nurse practitioners can do. And then they also, again, hang you guys out to dry, decertify you, try to get you fired. Yep. I mean, this is really a very dangerous cartel.
It is dangerous, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. That, look, turning over all my cards, I'm not convinced ivermectin worked, but I will go to the mat to protect a physician who's got the patient in front of him or her, and it's their judgment that this is the right thing to do for that patient. We should all be going to the mat to protect that. And the reason there's deterioration in our trust in the physicians is because we have been so adulterated and can't do our work. And by the way, it's in the intellectual practice of medicine, not the surgical, interestingly. The surgeons, you can't interfere with the surgical environment when the doctor is making decisions in the surgical arena. He or she is just making decisions. They haven't figured out how to adulterate that yet, but trust me, they will.
If the trajectory of big pharma and the big corporations and insurance companies that control not just American medicine, but most prosperous nations they've taking it over on the trajectory they're going from 80% or 90% support decades ago to 40% in these big studies, and it's falling even faster. Where does that trajectory go? Because they're only intensifying. They're not backing down. I mean, I've got Bill Gates. Well, I've got Tedros. I've got Hotez and all their little minions here in my stacks today. I've got Bill Gates bemoaning the First Amendment and saying we need to strengthen ways to shut down people. But everything he said about the shot, that it was safe and effective and that it would keep you from getting COVID or spreading it, that's now been admitted to all be a lie. They're the ones with the record of misinformation, disinformation. And then now they want to silence us because the truth's hurting them.
Look, Alex, one little glimmer of hope. In Newsweek today, they had an article that said that the misinformation is an assault on science. And you know who won the if you want to open your history books and look at the biggest purveyor of misinformation in history, and which side of that do you want to be on? Do you want to be on the side of the group that attacked him, or would you rather be him, Galileo? Galileo was the absolutely crushed as somebody not just in misinformed, but dangerously misinformed, a threat to the world order. And the Spanish Inquisition had their way with him. It's the same thing about COVID. Listen, COVID should be a great lesson for it. It certainly was for me. It was such a profound lesson. And one of the lessons I learned was I could never understand how people, average Germans, became prison guards. But I went to my hospital after about 6 months into COVID. I've been attending there for 40 years. And I went to get the vaccine, actually, but I couldn't get the vaccine because I wasn't, it was all kinds of weird criteria for getting it at that time. It was early in the vaccine distribution. And the doors to the hospital were locked. I held my ID up, and a young, freshly pressed out security guard opened the door and started screaming at me, "Where are your papers?" Screaming and carrying on. And I thought, oh my God, this is like a scene from a World War II prison, a border crossing. This is how people become prison guards. Whether you're calling Tim Walz's line where you're ratting on your friends for them having outdoor barbecues, or whether you took a position at a job where you were telling people to mask up or you were yelling at them about their papers, that's the prison guard. You became the prison guard, and you need to really look at that. Wherever we can, we need to examine our behavior through this and apologize. We need to apologize wherever we can. I look for every opportunity to apologize, and certainly I have plenty. I was not perfect, and I've got plenty of things I got wrong. I apologize, and I'll take each one and do so. But Alex, I want to go back to what you said about the regulators, because that's a really important story. And in terms of where the trajectory is going, it's going down, and it can go no other way. It's why I got involved with TWC, the wellness company, because Dr. Kelly Victor, who's also on our board, said to me one day, she goes, 5 years ago, this would have been crazy to get everything right to the patient, but now it's crazy not to.
By the way, let me just stop you there, because I should have brought this up at the beginning, and I apologize. DrDrew.com, so they find all your amazing work, and on exit, Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew Pinsky, MD, Chief Medical Board of the Wellness Company, that is the preeminent group with so many great doctors, we've got Dr. Drew here on the board of it. And this is one of the good things Trump did, was to liberalize the public's ability for online pharmacies and online medical care and online consultations with doctors, nurses, practitioners, and other experts. And you guys have a billionaire backing you in funding, and I've used it, my family's used it, you're also the group's a sponsor. So I should have said up front here, instead of just being mad at the corrupt medical system and the big banks and the big insurance companies and governments and the WHO coming in trying to take control, the real revolution is in our choices and moving into this. And there has just been a giant move. I've got the numbers right here, massively, since Trump did this. One of the great things, because he believes in medical freedom, he wasn't great on pushing warp speed, but at least he said you shouldn't make people do it and you shouldn't make the military take it. He's now criticized it some and has kind of started walking it back. That's good. But absolutely, people need to take power into their own hands and go to onlinehealthnow.com. That takes you right to the wellness company, and that way they know it came from us. So we get some support from that. It's a win-win. Everybody should be doing this. And so I want you to start over. I interrupted you, Dr. Drew, and then talk about it, and then how great these services are. You guys have everything. It's not just stuff for COVID or monkeypox. It's everything at the wellness company.
we got a lot to get into, you and I, but yeah, we put together kits that people should have on hand for emergency, for infection outbreaks, for travel, things I give to my patients when they travel. We set it up in a kit and you can have access to it with a simple telehealth visit. And there's all sorts of backup through telehealth and through, we as a guidebook that come with it and how to use these medications. These are all things that essentially, you know, many of them are over the counter throughout the world. You know how to use these things. You don't need to have somebody looking over your shoulder. You need guidance for it. You need somebody using their judgment to help you when there are questions. And we have all that, but you should have access to these things when you want them and they should be ready to hand. But you mentioned, Alex, the Project Warp Speed. And let me frame what I'm going to say about the regulator thing by pushing back on what you said about Warp Speed. I'm going to say Warp Speed was a good thing. I'm going to say that in the darker hours of Alpha and Delta, we needed to do something in terms of a vaccine therapy. And we did it. And it was rather miraculous. And it was an extraordinary effort. And I'm here to tell you, I take care of lots of elderly patients and they benefited. I did not see any, I saw one serious side effect and that was in a booster, many boosters down the line. They benefited and I only lost one patient to COVID. Everybody stayed out of the hospital. My question about now is why are you pushing the boosters when we have lots of great treatments and the immunity is way up for everybody and the boosters are starting to see side effects in elderly patients? What are we doing? But let's go back to the beginning. So let's say there was some positive to that, and let's even say that it was reasonable to try to use mitigation efforts to try to get us to a
Well, let me be clear. I think Trump meant well, because even on the therapeutics, he tried to open the floodgates just like he did with telemedicine. Right. So, I mean, I know the thinking. I know what Trump did. I'm separating him from the people I see as villains with Fauci and where the virus came from and gain of function and lying about it.
Yeah. So this I'm going to help you with. And there's even a deeper and more interesting sort of wrinkle in this you probably not thought about, which is, and if you want, I'll go back to my excesses early in COVID and where I made mistakes. And one of my mistakes was every comment I made early in the pandemic, I said, just listen to Dr. Fauci and listen to the CDC. They will get us through this. Because as they had behaved throughout my medical practice, they were quite useful. They abandoned every ethical and every epidemic guideline they had ever deployed. It was just shocking to me. And of course, when people criticized me, they cut off that part, which is actually the only thing I got wrong. But going back to the early days, the darker hours, the problem wasn't that any of this was underway, as you say. The thinking was good. The intentions were good. What's dangerous is when you have a physician or a physician group that becomes evangelical to a cause, not a religious cause, a medical cause. I'm going to show you how the opioid epidemic and COVID was exactly the same playbook. The opioid crisis is something I was fighting vigorously. I saw that happen. I could not imagine. It was very similar to me in terms of how I was behaving during COVID. I couldn't understand what was happening. It was killing my patients. It was disgusting. And I was getting sanctioned by all the regulatory bodies as somebody who was interested in patient suffering. I was old-fashioned. It was something that, you know, I had no business practicing. Because why? Because I wasn't giving my heroin addicts in withdrawal and opiate when they said they were uncomfortable. I mean, this is what I was being sanctioned for. Well, once that all settled down, and it was actually Jeff Sessions who put an end to it. I don't know if you know that. Yeah, I was at a symposium at the White House, and Jeff Sessions says, I know how to stop this. And exactly how he did it, he put a bunch of doctors in jail for excessive prescribing, and it stopped. And that is exactly how it started. It started in the 90s when doctors were sanctioned civilly or criminally for inadequate treatment of pain. The attorneys figured out how to get around malpractice and to go right after doctors' net worth and their freedom. But when that happened, physicians froze. And we were afraid to prescribe medication. We were afraid to get involved with it. And a discipline called pain medicine took over. And within pain medicine, there were evangelists who said, pain is the fifth vital sign. There should never be pain in America ever again. You're opiophobic if you don't prescribe as many opiates as you can and as many as the patient want. And immediately they started killing my patients by the hundreds. And the evangelical physicians went around the country and got the VA, the state medical societies, the insurance agents, the professional societies to adopt pain as the fifth vital signs. More important than your pulse. More important than your pulse. Pain is the fifth vital sign, and off it went. So when the regulators got involved, that's when the excesses come in. Think about now our striving to get to the vaccine. Where are the excesses with masking and lockdowns? Who are the evangelists? Dr. Birx, who runs around the country convincing regulators and governors that they must lock down their states or they're going to kill people if they don't. And that the evangelical physician is where the excesses came from.
And then all the surveillance and censorship of the general public and the White House running it. Trump didn't do that, but it got really bad under Biden.
Yep. Well, and that the censorship, which we now know with the Twitter files and other things that have been exposed and various FOIA documents, but also the mandates. We did not clearly have the bioethical standing to mandate a vaccine that we now know had really serious problems in the studies. And even the bioethical claims, which is you're going to prevent other people from getting infected, you're going to save the hospital system. None of those things were true. One of those, and I would argue that the same thing is going on right now. My question is, you are mandating a black vaccine platform, the mRNA vaccine platform. You're requiring people to get that. Why aren't you as enthusiastic about the whole viral vaccines like Covaxin or Novavax, older platforms that have equal efficacy? Novavax has some of the problems of the mRNA vaccine too, by the way. But why are we even talking about those? Why are there only two brands, literally two brands, all you are mandating all the way down to the age of to early childhood? What is that all about? And why are we not talking about these other vaccine platforms? It's suspicious.
Well, it's worrisome. It is. I want you to elaborate.
Problems.
Start around. That was a key part. I interrupted with another question. Go back to how this is suspicious.
Well, it's suspicious in that I'm been concerned about the fact that we took and directed the vaccines to produce spike protein or to attack the spike protein, right? So the mRNA vaccine is producing spike protein. We know that the predominant pathogenic mechanism, what makes us so ill from COVID, is the spike protein. Why would we insist on using vaccines that cause the body to produce a lot of spike protein? I understand early in the fight, it was a very efficient way to do this, and good on you for having done it. But why are we mandating it now when there are whole viral particles in vaccines that can give you immunity to the entire virus, more than just the spike protein, and you aren't producing so much spike protein, which is what we worry about as being pathogenic? And what we now know in people that have this long vaccine and all these severe vaccine reactions, it is about the persistent reaction to spike protein.
All right, we got to go to break here in about a minute, but I want to come back and flesh that out because, well, let me start asking the question now. You think about it during the break. Dr. Drew, I'm not a doctor, but I know classic, you know, vaccines were attenuated or damaged or a virus that couldn't replicate. So your body gets to face just a little bit of it and learn how to beat it. And there can still be side effects or issues, but that's a real science, and you know, it's a big, big breakthrough. 500 years old, as you know, with the you know, cows and the smallpox pus with basically a toothpick. But now a vaccine is a gene therapy that tells your body to replicate and make something. That sounds like what a virus does, not what a vaccine does. So I want you to define what you call these things, or should they be called vaccines? Then I want to pull up the news article so I get it right. But last week I was reading that the FDA is trying to push or mandate or recommend 3 COVID shots in the first 9 months for babies. What is that about? Dr. Drew, drdrew.com, and he is on the board of the wellness company. And folks, they're an amazing sponsor. They got everything you need for telemedicine and more. Not just stuff for COVID. You need to stock up on everything in case there's an emergency. Onlinehealthnow.com. Onlinehealthnow.com. Amazing, amazing folks. We'll be right back. COVID vax causes more heart damage than COVID virus and brain, blood, immune cancer, reproductive study. I mean, there's so many of these studies. What do you make of that?
This finally settled the question, Alex. The COVID vaccine causes myocarditis in young people, not the infection. It's a government false narrative. It's been propagated through the American College of Cardiology and other agencies that the infection causes myocarditis. It doesn't.
Looking at this, then, we see these headlines constantly. When you follow the article, there's no link, there's no proof. It just says COVID's a greater risk of heart problems than the shot, and they just lie.
It's essentially a giant medical lie perpetrated by the American College of Cardiology, the CDC, the NIH, This is a false narrative. No confirmed cases by adjudication or autopsy. Right. No hospitalizations and deaths. But the vaccine, I'm a cardiologist, Alex. I am knee deep in people with vaccine myocarditis causing heart failure. The vaccines do cause heart arrhythmias in some. It's inflammation in the heart, atrial fibrillation, sometimes ventricular arrhythmias.
COVID shots can enlarge and weaken the heart. Another study.
Heart failure can be an outcome of subclinical myocarditis. It's very important for people to realize they may not feel chest pain initially, but then they have the onset of effort intolerance, a pulmonary edema, congestion, and leg swelling. I have cases from Austin, Alex, referred up to my office. It's vaccine myocarditis and heart failure. They need treatment for this. The go-to is McCullough Protocol based spike protein detoxification with supplements available through onlinehealthnow.com.
Onlinehealthnow.com.
We have ample data now suggesting every cancer is increasing worldwide in virtually every organ system, and it's related to COVID-19 vaccines.
Now, I'm glad, Dr. McCullough, that you brought up how to detox, either whether you got COVID in the wild, which you know is a lot less from the studies, bad as taking the shots, but if you want to detox from it, you're one of the top research doctors out there, one of the, if not the most published. You have actually developed something, come up with something available at onlinehealthnow.com that you're saying is the go-to here. Spend a few minutes telling us about that anti-spike protein protocol.
It's the base of what we do now in long COVID and vaccine injury syndromes. It's caused because of accumulation of the spike protein from the infection, and in a massive doses from the vaccine, it gets stuck in the human body. We need to assist the body in clearing the spike protein. We have several years of observation, multiple peer-reviewed publications on this, very good support for doing this. It's nattokinase, which is a natural enzyme derived from the fermentation of soy. Japanese discovered it. Bromelain, a family of enzymes derived from the stems of pineapple. And then lastly, curcumin derived from turmeric and Indian spice. These are all in capsule format. We give them in combination in between meals, and we're using accelerating doses. People are doing this across the world right now, Alex.
So you build up.
And we build up. Now listen, the initial starting doses were 2,000 units twice a day of natto. We're now going to 4,000 twice a day. We do give them in addition to blood thinners, and we have found sometimes it's the only way to dissolve the blood clots. When people get large vaccine blood clots, the blood thinners just hold it steady. They don't dissolve them. We actually have to give thrombolytic enzymes. That's McCullough Protocol-based spike protein detoxification.
And people can find out all the details of that at onlinehealthnow.com.
That's the go-to place. The wellness company provides, really the leading quality and the leading formulation. So the spike formulation has not only nattokinase, but five minor ingredients. We combine that with the curcumin and the bromelain for what we think is the ultimate spike detox trio. Onlinehealthnow.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.
Fortune tanto vulnera, si latibus ocellis, potsu amici vulnera, sutra di prebellis.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
All right, the legendary Dr. Drew, drdrew.com, is our guest. He is the chief medical board member for the Wellness Company. Great folks, great sponsor of ours. The top best company for telemedicine for everything, not just COVID, monkeypox, and all that stuff, but just all sorts of great stuff. But they also have the ready packs for everything you need for COVID or new viruses or any of this garbage. And I'm going to ask him, why do we have all these summer colds now? And, I've got the head of the Crick Institute saying when you take three or more of the shots, it lowers your immune system 5 to 6 times what it was. You'll, quote, need more shots. Sounds like a great business model to lower people's immune system so they get sicker so you can sell them more medical devices. But Dr. Drew, finishing the question we had before the break.
Yeah, I just quickly, you mentioned the monkeypox and the bird flu, and the TWC Medical Board meets on a regular basis, and all of us spontaneously and independently, we started hearing that there was grave concerns of an international scale about monkeypox and flu. our only conclusion could be that they must be adulterating or adding gain of function to those viruses, which, and they're not telling us, and that could be why they are expressing their concern. Or they are just addicted to the panic porn and just like to exert to have their way with the public. And by the way, the World Economic Forum has that in print. They on their website say that the people have shown their willingness to comply, and the experiment was a success. So, you know, be ready. There are ways to treat monkeypox and there are ways to treat bird flu. We actually put Tamiflu in one of our emergency kits, so you are prepared. I call this rational readiness. These things could happen, but why are you even reading about it? Why do we even know how many monkeypox outbreaks there were in Central Africa? Why do you know that? I need to know that. I'm a physician. I need to be aware of these things. But the public, making them aware of that is absurd and, again, suspicious. Why are you doing this? Why are you pumping that out? Either there is a motivation behind it, or something I've been concerned about, the press is so addicted to catching your eyes any way they can, they're willing to harm you and panic you, which is exactly what I thought they were doing in the early days of COVID. That's what made me so furious. I saw the whole thing as a press-generated hysteria. Now, I was wrong, and there were plenty of other forces at work, and there were plenty of reasons to be concerned about it, but the hysteria, panic, is never make things better, ever. So I'm sorry, I didn't answer your question. I've already forgotten what it was, Alex. Before the break, we were talking about the generating lots of the protein being generated by the virus and whether that's a vaccine. So I really take the vaccine. I'm very liberal with my definition of vaccine. Look, I'm a moderate, Alex. I'm trying to stay in reality. I don't believe anything anymore. I'm like Joe Rogan. I believe maybe the world is flat. I don't know. I heard you talking about it being a sphere. I happen to agree with you. But the point is that I'm now open to any and everything, but I want to be very, very careful in how we think about things. Like, I don't know if you saw poor John Campbell got tagged with what I think to be just a mistake. There were nanoparticles in the vaccine detected in the Japanese. I think don't do that, everybody. Let's be really careful, or you're as bad as the people generating the panic. Be very careful. So back to the vaccine definition. I have a liberal definition with vaccine, which is to me anything that generates an immune response for a particular pathogen, so your immune system will have an ability to attack it when it sees it again. So whether or not it's a gene therapy or not a gene therapy or just a whole virus, whatever it is, to me, they're all vaccines. The problem on what you're pointing at, though, is how do we, when you're giving messenger RNA and you're instructing cells and you're taking over the cell's machinery to produce a protein, how do you get it to stop? And then we now have good evidence that the people that get into problems with the vaccine, it's turned on and it doesn't seem to stop, or at least the immune response to it doesn't stop. And the antigen load seems to stay up. So it is seemed to be the case that some people, particularly after the first booster, can get into real trouble. And that should alarm us. Plus, we now know that there is no doubt about the myocarditis in males, in young males. It occurs. There was some data out of France just a couple days ago, it was published in JAMA. It looked pretty good that the kids that got the myocarditis didn't seem to have long-term consequences, though I will tell you they are getting atrial arrhythmias and needing ablations, which are invasive cardiac procedures. At the age of 25, can you imagine that? You want to go play football. It's like that they are having to go.
What I'm seeing is we used to see a football player who's 23 or whatever die every 5 years. Somebody have a heart attack and die, or maybe every decade. Every week, some 25, 30-year-old football player is dropping dead, and we see myocarditis and all this exploding.
It seems like, well, myocarditis for sure, and myocarditis is a dreaded complication of viruses. Now, the France study does suggest that the long-term consequence of myocarditis from COVID virus is worse than from COVID vaccine, but that's in elderly patients because young patients don't seem to get the myocarditis from the virus itself. So my question again, why aren't we using whole viral options if the spike protein is the issue? And if you're so hell-bent on mandating or requiring vaccines, why aren't you considering other than two brands, number one? And I understand you believe those to be very effective brands, but there are other effective brands out there.
No, that's my point, because I quoted the big national study that just came out last week where 40% have some trust. only 29 have great trust. And again, decades ago, it was in the 80s. And before that, in the 90s, I mean, doctors were like God. And
yeah,
so well,
let me address that one quick second, though. I want to just finish the myocarditis thing, and then I'm going to get into that. So why are you mandating a particular brand of vaccine in order to go to college or go to school or have a job? Why are you mandating that virus when there's a zero chance of serious outcome from the virus itself and a non-zero chance from the vaccine? Where is the risk-reward analysis in this, which has been abandoned throughout the entire outbreak, throughout the entire COVID disaster? And Redfield admits that. The leaders at the time admitted they overlooked any concerns about the consequences of what they were doing. But of course, as a result of things like that, people's confidence in the medical system deteriorates. Not only that, the system is becoming more and more and more cumbersome. I'm here to tell you that a year or two from now, certainly on the sort of general medical front and even the surgical front, you're not going to see a doctor. You're going to see physician extenders. I remember years ago, I was on Anderson Cooper's show, and I used the word physician extender, and Anna Navarro was on the panel, and Anderson, all of them, physician extenders, what are you talking about? I went, yeah, that's the way they're developing the system. So you're going to see nurse practitioners and physician assistants. Anybody who goes to the doctor on a regular basis is already very familiar with this. But even seeing the physician at all is going to be a very irregular experience. And I just last week had three patients come in my office, confused, hysterical, were scheduled for surgeries, had not yet seen the physician.
Incredible. So dangerous.
All of them were not needed. One of them maybe, but the rest was not needed. I canceled it. And I said, just call me next time. Don't get into the system. The system is the problem. It's not my peers so much, though we have our own issues. It's the system that makes it impossible for us to do our job.
Wasn't it healthy? Not in a good way, but that which doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. Nietzsche, that we had such suppression of medical professionals, doctors, and others by Big Pharma and the system and the UN and the media, that now it's got a lot of doctors and others to stand up, and they get incredible love and trust, and that doctors at some level are now realizing they're being taken over, not just the public, and that there is the formation of major resistance.
Yeah, and to flush out your Nietzsche quote even further, his actual quote was, in the art of war, that which does not kill you make you stronger. And that's what we're in a battle here. We are in a battle. And you can demand better from the system. But, you know, when people are elderly or they have cognitive issues or they're sick, it's very, very difficult to get it to function the way it is supposed to. The reality is there's nothing more efficient and more effective than a well-trained physician and a informed patient. I used to say a caring, well-trained physician, but the care has been expunged from the system, but I'll put it back in for the sake of this discussion. Anything you do to that or put upon that, you're adulterating things, you're making things worse. I mean, imagine if lawyers had to deal with this. Are you kidding? They wouldn't put up with this for 2 seconds. And the medical profession has been eviscerated by it. And I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. I don't know how we get it back. It does create opportunities for awareness. And so people should be very cautious and very careful, and also creative opportunities to sort of organize ourselves in such a way that we deal with these weaknesses
sure.
in the system. And just, again, like I said, the TWC was one of my response for that.
I want to go back to about 15 minutes ago, because I see a lot of your clips. I watch the show sometimes, but I see the clips every couple of days. I watch something you've said, and I've seen you in the last 4 years, let's not exaggerate, 30, 40 clips at least, where you're like, these vaccines have a bunch of problems. You know, this is really dumb. But then you're going back to the time at warp speed saying, well, actually, you think it saves some old people that you saw in your practice with, you know, clear thing there. But now with boosters, you are seeing some issues. And we have the studies clearly pointing at that. So I'm not saying you're saying something different here today. This is all very nuanced. Yeah. I want you to be able to flesh that out. But at first, here's just, I went and searched real quick during the break of clips, and I found one really fast of you basically saying what my view is. Here's a short clip.
It's okay. More common than we thought. People are like, well, it's mild. It's no big deal. It's self-limited, blah, blah. Look, in my world, throughout my entire career, 40-year career, myocarditis is a medical emergency. It's a dire problem. A publication just came out 5 days ago in Circulation, a major cardiology journal. An excellent study, and it showed, it took my breath away. I didn't know why it wasn't headline news. It's a large study, and it showed that approximately half of the young males that got myocarditis had permanent heart damage.
Yep.
Permanent. That means that we don't know what percentage are going to be disabled by this. As they get older, are going to develop heart failure, or going to need cardiac transplants, some of them.
Oh my God.
It's breathtaking, this study, and why it wasn't a big headline. I've sort of sent it around a little bit because I don't understand why people aren't reacting to it. So in a 27-year-old male, the illness is a nothing. So the risk is, so the vaccine is all risk.
Right.
Why the push? Why are we pushing? And I think, put your legal head on for a second, that universities are going to be in big trouble for having mandated young people to get that vaccine. Because people are going to get sick, and they're going to have long-term consequences, and they should sue those schools for having forced them to take a medical intervention.
100% they should sue. And if anybody tries to force you from this point forward, get a fake card. It's not that hard. Go ahead, Google it. Get a fake card.
And again,
don't comply.
We have a good treatment. We have Paxlovid. Why? And people have all kinds of feelings.
You have to say you've gotten the shot to get in.
Right.
Get
I'll stop there. But you go on from there. So there's nuances.
I agree with everything I just said. I agree with all that. That's what I was saying. I said it's a non-zero risk from the vaccine and a zero risk from the illness in that age group. Now, at that point, that study was starting to tilt at the idea that there might be some, even if it's 1 in 5,000 that get myocarditis, that one of those 50% end up with serious long-term problems. This French study that came out a couple of days ago suggest that wasn't quite right. So, but the point
is, where is all the excess death coming from? Because I've seen the studies that Dr. Peter McCullough and countless others that work with you, and they're saying clearly it's not COVID causing any serious increase in all these heart issues, and that it's the people that have been injected.
I don't think we can say that yet. You know why? Because the studies haven't been adequately done, because the possibility that it is the injection prevents the right studies from getting accomplished. All I keep seeing is it's actually confusing. And I know when it's confusing, I'm not getting the whole story. The reality is, in medical literature, there should always be a back and a forth. It goes against it and for it, against it, and then a consensus develops. You start to see something to approximate the truth. When they say it's only one way, that's how you know that there's something wrong with what's being published. This was what RFK Jr. said. He wants to prosecute the major publications in medicine on a RICO case. For colluding and refusing to publish data that suggests something contrary to the narrative.
Well, Dr. Drew, that's my next question. RFK Jr., I mean, we see the numbers. He went over it in his speech when he endorsed Trump. He spoke about it. I've looked the numbers up. They're true. I mean, astronomical increase in cancer, astronomical, you know, just all the children, all these incredible illnesses. It's not just hyper over medicalization, I think, in most times. I mean, I can go out and look at kids at the mall or look at kids at schools. They don't, on average, a lot of them look super unhealthy. I mean, what is going on with our young people?
Well, let's add up the score. I mean, we've got destruction of our family systems, which is what kids need to thrive and regulate. We have food sources. Have you interviewed Callie Means yet?
You should look into.
Yeah. I mean, he will tell you, as a former food lobbyist, that the tobacco companies have taken over the food company, and has what come with them has been the lobbyists, the scientists, and the marketers using the exact same strategies as we used on tobacco and making it just as addictive. So are we surprised that this yummy addictive food would have a negative health influence on our young people? And if on top of that, people are away from the home, broken homes, working multiple jobs, how can you manage the child's food? And then we've handed it over to the schools to do it? Really? The government to feed our kids? That's not going to go well. That can't go well. And in the meantime, there's access to all kinds of yummy things 24/7. And everything is a button away from food delivery to your hand. And if you don't educate kids and manage kids and help them regulate and understand how to properly nourish themselves, they're not going to do it. They're going to fall victim to the addictive elements.
Absolutely. I mean, he goes over the numbers. It's just staggering. And the United States is like one of the top or most sick countries in the world. We spend more than anybody else per capita on medicine. And now you have 29% of people that actually totally have great trust in the system, 40% some trust. This looks like it's going to get to a very bad place because, like I said earlier, all I see is the people that own the medical system, the, you know, the banks, the insurance companies, big pharma doubling down. Do you agree with that statement? And then how do you, looking out at the future, see that coming to a head?
It sort of breaks my heart to look at that kind of a future. My dad was an old family practitioner. My uncle was a psychiatrist. I practiced medicine my whole life. It's a very deep and meaningful experience and been a part of my identity forever. And the idea that it has been adulterated by systems that have been put in place that have motivations that are outside and not necessarily congruent with the well-being of the patient. I don't know where it goes, unfortunately. If I knew where it goes, I would have gotten in the way of it a long time ago. All I have discovered that I can do is try to get things into the hands of patients as much as possible. That includes medication, that includes information, that includes awareness. And we have to help people navigate the system. Unfortunately, Alex, I think where it's going to go is going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And what's probably going to happen, I think what's going to happen is there's going to be some sort of split in the system because it's going to get so bad that people are not going to put up with it and they're going to set up a parallel system of some type. That's what happened in England, even though their system was never as bad even as ours is right now.
That's a really important point. And of course, you're on the board of the wellness company, chief medical board of the wellness company. We need to do a plug. You're a classic, dyed-in-the-wool doctor won't even really talk about the products, but explain what the wellness company does. And again, it's a lot bigger than just COVID or monkeypox. I mean, you're talking about a total one shop to talk to nurses, doctors, online medicine, everything. This is a revolution that Trump did get through, and it's the answer to where you don't have big pharma ordering all the big pharmacies not to prescribe stuff because they want you to buy their drugs like Remdesivir or whatever. I mean, this is revolutionary, and people need to understand it. So spend a few minutes about why you joined the wellness company and what it's doing.
Yeah. I complete Alex, you really actually framed exactly what we're doing, which is you need to understand that you can get people, I think, are fearful of getting healthcare because it's going to be terribly expensive. The reality is you can deliver healthcare for the vast majority of your needs extremely effectively. And that's what we're looking to the wellness company. For instance, in our emergency kits, we have Dr. Kelly Victory, who's an ER doctor and a disaster specialist. And she said, look, we got to get a hold of the EpiPens because they have become so expensive that people can't get them. They're having to come to the ER to get their Epi injection if they have anaphylactoid reactions. And now it's $2,500 when you walk in the door because you're paying for the infrastructure and all the staff in the ER. And we found a way to source EpiPen in our emergency kit as lower than everybody else. We can do it. We can get cost effective. We can get medication in your hands at a relatively reasonable price with medical backup that's either part of it or also at a very reasonable price. And look, you go to the doctor so he or she can use their judgment. And we can do that rather quickly and efficiently. We are ways to do it now that, again, efficiency is going to be the name of the game going forward. And getting doctors as entrenched in it, people think they go to doctors to see for their fund of knowledge. The fund of knowledge goes without saying. What you can Google on any website is what we've known since the second year of medical school. It's the years and years and years of practice of honing our judgment to get the right thing for the right patient at the right moment and the right dose and the right choice. And that requires lots of judgment, not just information. And that's what our team has. We have a good squad there to give you judgment and then ways for you to develop your own judgment so you can be there on behalf of your family if you should need it, God forbid.
And going back to $2.3 billion that came out this year, paid by the federal government to the two biggest pharmacies, Walgreens and CVS, not to prescribe a whole list of things they said when doctors did it off-label, which was totally legal. And I saw doctors go to the pharmacies and say, like Dr. Zelenko, I'm prescribing this to my thousands of patients. I'm legally allowed to do this. You're not a doctor. What gives you the authority? So the whole medical system is trying to take doctors out of the equation and have technicians or actuaries or numbers. Oh, you got insurance? Surgery when you don't need it. Don't have insurance? Don't get surgery when you need it. What you guys are doing is getting people directly in touch with doctors, nurses, practitioners, and others, and everything that they need. And it was the telemedicine that Trump got through, then COVID hit, that saved so many people. It was such a game changer. And that's why I'm so excited about the wellness company and onlinehealthnow.com. Everybody needs to mark that down and get ahead of this in these uncertain times. And I mean, I know a lot of people are talking about, I know Dr. Peter McCullough is talking about, people can legally also, most of this stuff is not controlled. So people can also legally stockpile a lot of things. What type of things should people just have on hand, Dr. Drew?
Well, look, it depends on what your needs are. I always give patients, when they travel, I give them anti-nauseal, seasick medication, medications for infectious diarrhea, infections, for antibiotics for skin infections, antibiotics for upper respiratory and sinus infections. And that is what we put in our travel kits. We tried to think of everything that you would need for the particular circumstance you're trying to prepare for. If it's an emergency, our entire committee got involved with that one. And an infection outbreak, things that ivermectin and medicine like that is available if that's what you want. There's things, again, the point is, and the point you're making is that if you don't allow medical practitioners to practice medicine and you do it from a centralized authority, it is destructive for the patients. It is dangerous. And the more centralized, the more dangerous. And I don't know why in the world we would contemplate going and signing for a World Economic, you know, the World Health Organization so-called treaty to give them fiat authority over duly elected officials. That to me is the scariest, most evil idea I've ever heard. Your most effective unit is right back to you, your family, and somebody whom you contact to use their judgment to help you.
Absolutely. Dr. Drew, thank you so much for the time. I look forward to speaking to you again. DrDrew.com. They can find you on X at Dr. Drew. And they can also find you at the Wellness Company. The link to use is onlinehealthnow.com. One word, onlinehealthnow.com. Thank you so much, sir.
Appreciate it, Alex. Thank you so much.
Well, that was a great interview. And again, he's one of the most prominent doctors in the world. And you could say, you know, kind of more mainline or whatever. But even he has come a long way and he's been standing up for free speech. And to have those big discussions and those big debates back and forth that we need to have. And so the Wellness Company are awesome folks. They're a huge sponsor. And we have some other telemedicine sponsors that are excellent as well that kind of have their own lines of things and also supplements. People like Dr. Stella Emanuel is amazing. You know, some of the other groups are amazing. But these folks are the one-stop shop. And they've also got their spike protein detox on the site as well. So be sure and visit right now onlinehealthnow.com. Onlinehealthnow.com. Again, I want to thank Dr. Drew for coming on. And then separately, there's other things like Nitric Boost that Dr. Mikovits says is so great with all these compounds that we sell that flush out the blood and clean things out and go after the spike protein and the rest of it. It's available with InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com. Check out the whole InfoWars MD line of products at InfoWarsStore.com, like the CBD gummies and the 1,000-milligram tincture, way lower price than people selling the exact same stuff we private label. It's the high-end quality stuff with a huge discount. InfoWars MD, CBD gummies, and more at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. Tons of news, massive news. The Haitian invasion of Ohio. It's all coming up, hour number three.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bodies is back in stock, and frankly, it's a miracle. It is a miracle that Bodies is back in stock because we didn't know whether or not we were ever going to be able to even order inventory again after some of the more recent court hearings. Now, InfoWars is still thriving, still alive, but in a very vulnerable position, a very precarious legal position right now. So we need you to support us as soon as possible by going to InfoWarsStore.com and purchasing any of our products, but especially Bodies, which is one of our flagship, most popular products for good reason, too, because this formula is amazing for anti-inflammatory support, flexibility support, joint support. I have specifically used Bodies to help with arthritis that I have in my right ankle, arthritis that I have in my left hand. This is an amazing amazing anti-inflammatory supplement that is great for your joint health. And frankly, if Joe Biden was taking Bodies, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't be walking around like a 2x4. I think he'd be walking around like a gymnast at this point. But obviously he's not taking it because he can barely go up the stairs. And if you're feeling a little stiff or a little disjointed, for lack of a better term, then please consider getting Bodies whole body support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Not only are you investing in your own health, your own anti-inflation, your own joint health, your own joint support, but you are keeping InfoWars on the air at this particularly precarious time in InfoWars history. Now, we know that freedom of speech is under attack. We know that humanity itself is under attack, but we are going to stay on the air for as long as possible, and it's only possible because of your support at InfoWarsStore.com. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, invest in your own anti-inflammatory support, your own joint support, your own bodily health, while simultaneously keeping InfoWars on the air in this fight for humanity against the globalist New World Order leftist trash that we're faced with every single day. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Bodies today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.